Father, we thank you, Lord. God, we give you thanks for this day, for this special day in which we celebrate the fact that you stood in our place, Lord. God, that you came so that none may perish, but that all might have eternal life. God, that even when you were on the cross, the thief next to you said, Lord, the thief who rightly was dying beside you while you were dying in innocent death, when he asked, you gave him eternal life. God, how deserving were each of us to be on that place on the cross. And yet you willingly went there for us so that we might experience your goodness, your grace for all eternity. That we might experience the healing power of the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for this day, and we just ask that you would continue to have your hand on the service here this morning, that you would have your hands on Pastor Josh and Pastor Roman as they come to deliver your words, Lord, and that you would be with us, Lord, and that the significance of this day would not be something we just celebrate today on Easter, Lord, but that it would go with us as we live our daily lives to know, Lord, what confidence, what security we have to know that we are children of the Most High God, that you loved us so much, you stood where we should have stood, and you took what we should have took. God, and not only, God, we should just be thankful to even have you call us servants, but you have called us sons and daughters. Lord, that we might not just serve in your kingdom, but share in your inheritance. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that and are humbled by such a great gift. Lord, we just ask that you would have your hand on the service this morning. Lord, that we would leave this building changed because we came face to face with Almighty God. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I want to say a couple quick things. The first thing I want to say is, when I look out and I see all these children in here, it makes my heart happy. Where there is children, there is life. Nothing makes me happier when I see children, because I see the next generation of Christians being brought up. Without children in this church will disappear without the next generation coming up. So it is so awesome that we have all our children in here today. The second thing is I look out and I see so many seats filled, and I see the parking lot so full. I just think this is a foreshadowing of what's to come. For those of you who are our guests, we've been going through a transition period, and through this whole transition period, God has been saying growth is coming. First, he said change is coming, in which it came, as Pastor Jesse and Pastor Amanda were called away. And then he said, upon that change, growth is coming. And as we look forward in faith to the future, this is what we're going to see. I can't wait to see the day when we come here, and this sanctuary is so filled that we're bursting at the seams. Praise God for that. If you are our guest here today, I just want to tell you how honored we are that you have chosen to come here and to celebrate Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday with us. We are honored that you have chosen, of all the places you could be, that you have chosen River of Hope. I hope you've been made to feel very welcome, and I look forward to seeing you again. We are going to partake in the Lord's Supper communion this morning. I just want to explain this. I see a lot of new faces. I want to explain how we do this, because we do it a little bit differently than a lot of the other churches do. In just a minute, we're going to have our ushers come up, and they're going to bring forth the bread. And when it's all out, we will read scripture and we'll partake of the bread together. And then likewise, we'll do the same with the little cup. And when we all have it, we'll read scripture and we'll partake of the cup together. So if I could have my ushers come up, we're going to help us. I want to be very clear on this point. We have an open communion. It does not matter if you don't go to church here. It does not matter if you are not a member here. This is all we ask. If you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is open to you, and we would be honored if you would take communion with us. Parents of children, this is your decision over them. If you feel they are ready for communion, then they can partake. If not, this is your decision. But I just want you to know that if you feel comfortable to take communion with us, we are honored that you would do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for communion because we think of you what it means. As we look back now, we look to Resurrection Sunday when you defeat the grave once and for all. Our sins are forgiven. Let us remember what this means today. Let us remember the sacrifice you made all those years ago for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, him and his disciples were eating the Passover meal. This meal was instituted by God back in Exodus when the Israelites were still in Egypt. God said, I'm going to send my last plague. I'm going to kill the firstborn of every house. But I'm going to spare you, my people. What you have to do is you have to butcher a lamb and take his blood and place the blood over the doorpost. So when the angel of death comes in, he will see the blood on the doorpost and he will say, these are my people. And because of that, he will be spared. You will be spared. So Jesus and his disciples were partaking of this meal. Even on the night that he knew he was going to be betrayed, as they were eating their final meal together, it's what we now refer to as the Last Supper. An end, he took up the bread. Now what this bread represented to them was this was the bread that they said, we killed the lamb and put the blood over the doorpost to save us this night. But the one true lamb is still to come. And that's what this bread represents. It represents his body. Because he will give up his life for us. So he took that bread, and he took the loaf, and he broke it apart. And he said to them, take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. And when you do this in remembrance of me. That's what this is about. We're about to take the bread. I want you to look back, and I want you to remember what Christ did for you on that cross. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Christ took upon our sins on that cross and saved us. Our sins, past, present, and future, are gone. Let's take the bread together. Have my ushers come forward again, please. Again, at the end of the meal, he took the cup. Dearly Father, we thank you for what this cup represents. It represents the blood of Christ shed for us all. You took our place. You stood in for us. Your blood takes our darkened, sin-colored clothes, our black, horrible heart, and makes it white, makes it pure, so we can stand before you, not because of what we have done, but because of what you have did. I ask now that you would bless this and help us remember what this represents. In Jesus' name, amen. So after he took the bread, he took the cup. It's known as the cup of redemption. Think of that word, to be redeemed. When nothing else can save us, when we are headed towards hell, what we rightfully deserve, Jesus said, I am going to redeem you. Later on in that night, he prayed to God, knowing what was about to come, knowing he was going to be cut off, knowing he was going to be beaten, knowing he was ultimately going to be crucified, he prayed to his father, and he said to him, "If there is any other way you can save these people, will you please do it?" He said, "Remove this cup of suffering from me." And then he said, "Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done." He then let them lead him away to that cross. He let them beat him and scourge him. And here's the beautiful part I never understood until just a couple months ago. He's standing before the people, and Pilate says to them, "This man has no fault. I can release someone to you. Let me give him back to you." And the people said, no, give us Barabbas the murderer. And I used to think, wow, that's really weird. They want a murderer. But let's look at it deeper. Christ was showing us right then and there and showing those people right then and there what he was about to do. Barabbas was set to be put to death. And Christ stood in and took his place. And a couple hours later, Christ did the exact same thing for you and for me if we accept it. If we do not have Christ as our Savior, hear these words right now. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you still stand in his punishment. If you die in your sins, God will have no choice but to send you to hell. No choice. Does not mean he does not love you. Does not mean he does not care for you. We are Barabbas. We are standing there and with a threat of punishment looming. And Jesus is saying, "Accept this, and you will be saved." That this cup is the New Testament, the New Covenant. It means the new promise. The promise he made to you was that his blood was shed for you. If you accept that gift of grace, your sins are forgiven. He said, "Whenever you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of this cup and remember what Christ did for us. Father, we give you thanks and blessings that the stone was rolled away, that when they went there, that tomb was empty. Lord, I pray for everyone here. I pray if they do not know you, that they will come to know you. This life is but a vapor, and then it is gone. Let us be reminded that it was not works that saved us, but what you did on the cross. And when that stone was rolled away and that tomb was empty, death was defeated once and for all. We give the rest of this service over to you, Lord. Have your will. I pray for Pastor Dennis, who will be coming up to share with us out of your word. I pray you would give him wisdom to convey what we need to hear, and you would stop his mouth from uttering anything we don't need to hear. Lord, I pray comfort for those who need comfort today. I pray healing for those who need healing today, Lord. But most importantly, Lord, I pray conviction on those who need conviction. Lord, I pray no man, woman, or child will leave this church tonight without being able to say that they know their sins are forgiven, and they know that they were to die, that they would spend eternity in heaven with you, Lord. I ask this all in your name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see everybody out today. Just a few quick things. We have a lot to do today. Youth group continues 6:30, 5 to 5th grade to 12th grade, Tuesdays. So if you are new here and you want a great outlet for your kids to enjoy, Ms. Alexa and Danny do a fantastic job with youth group.
Youth group kids. We got So, come check it out.
Where is it? Ladies' dinner and movie April 28th. They'll be leaving Medford at 3:30. Dinner. They'll be preparing dinner at Shirley's House of Hope in Marshfield, I think. Good, I'm seeing some nods. And there is additional information on the foyer table regarding items that are needed and things like that. And then there's a tote in the kitchen where you can put items to be donated. So, ladies, if you're interested in getting together, I know that you do it very frequently. You're so much better at it than we are as men, but there's another great opportunity. Lastly, and probably most importantly, we for months and months since October have been talking about the new pastor. When are we going to get a new pastor? What's that process like? How's that going? Where are we at? Yada, yada. There was a whole search committee. They spent hundreds of cumulative hours working through this process. And now we are to that day. We have announced over the last several weeks that we would be voting on Easter Sunday regarding the affirmation of our new pastor. So, this pertains to everybody here, but specifically to the people that are members of this congregation. After service, if you want to vote on the affirmation of Pastor Josh as our new pastor, we invite you to stay. This should not take long. Hand out a piece of paper, you'll mark yes, or you'll write no. If you write no, we're very interested in your opinion as to why no is your answer, and then we will tally those votes. Of the votes taken, if two-thirds of everybody here says yes, then Josh is our new pastor. If not, then we will rework the system and start again. So, if you have questions, am I a member? Am I not? There is a piece of paper right back there by the camera stand that says, yes, who is the members of this church? We ask that you just take a look at that. Everybody else is free to continue to hang out and mingle in the foyer. I believe there's cupcakes. Is that correct? Yeah, I saw some cupcakes out there. So, and otherwise, I do understand that people have things that they need to get to today and other kinds of functions. So, kids go first on the cupcake. So what that really means is nobody over the age of 18 is going to be getting one because we're far outnumbered by the children here. So, yeah, that's what I have. Please stick around if you are a member so that you can be a member, part of the affirmation vote. Thank you.
What a wonderful service today. What a great day to come together to worship the Lord and to join in the celebration of our risen Savior. And what a historic moment for our congregation. And thank you, John, for sharing with us about the membership. And if you are a member of this church, you need to stay in this room when we dismiss this morning. And then there'll be the membership sheet. You'll sign your name to it and we'll do some business together. Yesterday was a beautiful day. In Wausau, where Linda and I live in Weston. In Weston, there was an announcement made for the whole city of Wausau at the gardens over by the Tech College. Weeks and weeks ago, the announcement was given there would be an Easter egg hunt. And so one of the first tweets that came through yesterday morning about the 5 or 6 inch of snow was, please come and find your eggs. They'd already put them out the night before. So I figure by July 4th, they'll find the eggs. Yeah, they'll be there. So, but we want to welcome you and extend a great blessing. Thank you, Pastor Josh, for those kind words and greeting you gave this congregation. We're very excited about the future of this church. If Linda and I lived in Medford, this would be our home church. We would come here. So we want to encourage you to come back and be a part of what God is doing here. Well, on Good Friday, and by the way, may I congratulate you as a congregation. Good Friday We listened to it last night at our home. It was totally awesome. If you've not heard Good Friday, go on River of Hope's website and you can listen to it as a podcast. It is out of this world. I need to congratulate all of you for that wonderful service. So Good Friday, the word was given, it is finished. Then on Saturday, it was silent. But on this morning, Sunday morning, Jesus rose from the grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the tomb is empty, and he has risen from the dead. I like that progression from it is finished to silence on Saturday to the resurrection on Sunday. Today, we're going to talk about the subject of risen redemption. And we're going to share in reading the story of the resurrection of Jesus one more time. Let's go look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, 1 through 6. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." And of course, that foundational principle upon which we build our church today, the Church of Jesus Christ, is built on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Lee Strobel, who wrote a book a few years entitled, a book called The Case for Christ, says it well. I quote, "Jesus Christ did not come into this world to make bad people good. He came into this world to make dead people live." And that great analogy of a relationship with Jesus is just like that. Before Jesus came into our lives, we were dead to the things of this world and this life. The things that attracted us were the things that brought us no hope and brought us no attention to the things of value that someone should possess for the rest of their life. But when Jesus came in, then that attraction to the things of the world changed. It was as if our affections were no longer there, and we looked for God to be a part of our daily life and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Risen redemption talks about something that the Apostle Paul reflected in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. In the 17th verse, it says, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." If Jesus had remained under the power of the grave, then you and I would still be under the power of guilt and sin. But because he rose from the dead, he has given us life and that more abundantly, and new life in him. It's kind of like what I feel when Linda and I drive on the property here on Sunday mornings. And you know, as an interim pastor, I'm here until Pastor Josh and his timetable is worked out for him to assume this pulpit. Until that time, as an interim pastor, I'll be here with you and enjoying every moment of it. But there's something about driving on the property. It's as if there is excitement. There is something that rises up within my spirit that says, this is good. This is God's place. This is an opportunity to come and worship the Lord and to share in the fellowship of believers and to come together and just enjoy the blessings of God. And I sense that already this morning with your presence here, being in this room with us together to worship God. What an amazing experience it is. Well, Paul the Apostle said in the 17th verse that if Christ had not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. But he said this in the 22nd verse, For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ will all be made alive. The promises of God are for you and me. They are true. And it began to be the substance of hope and faith for the New Testament church. For after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, then the events began to fold into place just like God wanted them to. The events began to fit into the pattern of God's plan for redemption and for God's people. Here's what took place in Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, after the tomb was opened, Jesus spent those 40 days of relationship with those followers that had been with him through it all, and especially his disciples. And he began to implant in them his power and grace and gave them great instruction to what the next steps would be in their lives. There was moments by which it was unquestionable that this was the Savior. Jesus would walk into a room with his disciples and appear to them, and he would convince them to look at the nail prints in his hand and the cut in his side, because that the resurrected Christ was giving them proof of his existence and his love for them. It was as if he was saying to them, there are no questions today. I am alive, and I am here, and I am your Lord and Savior. And just as I promised, I have come alive from the grave. I am your Lord. The scriptures go on to say in the book of Acts, for what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. It's God's design that the plan of God's great love through Jesus Christ would be revealed to all to see. It was not only for 12 disciples or 11 that remained. It was not just for 120 people in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, but it was the revelation of Jesus for all people of every generation, of every age, for those who lived at that moment and those who would be born, and for the generations that would follow after that. The power of the risen Savior would continue to work in people's lives, and this risen redemption would be for every one of us. It's a miracle when we look at the story of the resurrection. It's a powerful proclamation of God's great love. And today we pause in this worship service. We come together united by hundreds, thousands, millions of people around the world who on the Lord's Day come together to worship Jesus. And we acknowledge that this Savior we worship is alive. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's prepared and ready for us. And one day he will return and he will gather his church together. Sandy, I'd like to go to number 13, if I could, please, for the sake of time this morning, and read to you 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Pastor Josh shared that at the time we took communion this morning. He told us about the story of the spotless Lamb of God. John the Baptist on the seashore looked at Jesus coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." It became very apparent even from the earliest moments of Jesus' ministry that he was indeed the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. He gave his life, it says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. He gave his life a ransom for many. A price was made for our deliverance. A price was paid for our salvation. And it is because of Jesus' great love to die on the cross that we experience this great love today. I'm going to ask the musicians to join me on the platform if they would. And I'd like to share just a couple of thoughts here as we close this part of our service today. As you prepare to meet with your loved ones and your families and your friends to enjoy a meal together, as you come together just to enjoy this day, may you experience today the great love of Jesus Christ in your hearts and lives. The book of Hebrews a book that tells us the declaration of this great risen Savior. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, how will this Savior cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? On this Easter morning, this redemption morning, this resurrection morning, could it be that in every one of our hearts there is a longing to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus? And the call of God is this: come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation is for every one of us in this room to experience the love of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning, if you would please, for just a moment. And we have I have a prayer we're going to read before we close our service out today with our song, our final song. And this is a resurrection prayer. But before you pray this prayer, would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Could we together for just a moment pause to reflect on this risen Savior? From the very first opening song to the exhortation from Pastor Josh, to receiving the cup and the bread, to the scriptures about the resurrection of Jesus, to this very moment, it's all about Jesus today. It's all about his love for you and I. If you are in that crossroads of uncertainty and you've not received him as your Lord and Savior, if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures tell us you will be saved. Your prayer would be like this. It would be your prayer, and you would use your words, but your prayer would sound like this: Dear Jesus, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my trespasses and sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, we believe that something has happened in your life. Those very initial steps of receiving Christ and knowing him and the acceptance of his love is secure. Now you can grow in your walk and your faith in him. But I think it would be good for us to have before the closing song a united prayer. And I'm going to ask you to join me today as we look at the screen and begin with me and out loud in unison together with the words, Heavenly Father, would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me victory. Thank you for your word, which is life and healing water in my soul. I choose to set my heart and thoughts on you, knowing that you are empowering me to overcome in every area of my life in Jesus' name. Jesus, thank you for your resurrection power at work in my life. Today, I give you my broken dreams, disappointments, failures, and setbacks. I trust that you will breathe your life into me. I trust that you have a good plan for my future, and you are leading me into total victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Darkness into the light.
singing hallelujah, hallelujah, singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
So our gracious Lord and Savior, we leave this house of worship to go into the world that you've called us to share the story of the risen Savior. Lord, you are alive forevermore. We worship you and give thanks to you for this glorious, wonderful resurrection day. We ask your continued blessings on every family, every home, everyone that travels today. Bless their day, we pray, in the name of Jesus, our Lord. If you are a member of this church, we want you to stay in this room, if you would, please. Those of you that are with us as guests, you are dismissed. Pastor Josh will meet you in the foyer to greet you. You are dismissed. Amen.
You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.